Hello everybody, this is Tantra FM and I'm your host Valentino. Today we shall be dealing with the following articles. A brief introduction to mystical sex. To attain mystical experiences during lovemaking, mystical literature recommends that the lovers fix, hold, stop, interrupt, contain, or stabilize their thoughts, thus entering into lovemaking with an empty mind, a void mind, no mind, the original mind. An attempt to classify the various branches of the tantric system. Tantra yoga starts from the idea that our sexuality and amorous impulses actually represent a debased metaphysical urge. In other words, our highest spiritual aspirations are imprisoned in the matter and shape of sexuality. A most interesting subject. Resonance, a fundamental tantric principle. The relationships that unite and determine all the constitutive elements of the universe, things, beings, processes, and phenomena, are based on this universal law of resonance. Because of the similarity of phenomena, objects or energies vibrate on the same level, from a distance, which means they interact selectively, just like in the case of two posts of emission and reception, which are on the same frequency. Various yogic techniques represent precise ways of establishing a process of resonance with different types of universal energies. The process of resonance eases the way into understanding the reasons why some people always succeed in what they do, while others just obtain insignificant results. General rules concerning Tantra yoga. As an example, during the various tantric techniques, sexual energy is awakened and amplified to a great extent. It is therefore absolutely vital to preserve this energy in our aura so that it can be used in superior ways, instead of just wasting it. And finally, please join us for a meditation on the state of enthusiasm at the end of our broadcast. A brief introduction to mystical sex. Before starting to learn and practice any mystical sexual ritual, it is necessary to know some of the general aspects about mystical experiences during lovemaking. To attain mystical experiences during lovemaking, mystical literature recommends that the lovers fix, hold, stop, interrupt, contain, or stabilize their thoughts, thus entering into lovemaking with an empty mind, a void mind, no mind, original mind, or even mindlessness. But be careful. Don't misinterpret the instruction, interrupt your thoughts. It has often, very wrongly, been taken literally to mean that mystics shun all mental activity and favor instead a blank, unaware, unconscious, numb, non-functioning state of mind, one which closes out the world and locks away life. What is really being recommended is to stop a particular type of thinking, the verbal, judgmental, conceptual, theoretical, labeling, evaluative, representational, running internal commentary to oneself, non-stop type of thinking. This thinking is one in which every experience, perception, or sensation is subvocally stated in words, given a positive or negative philosophical value, explained to oneself according to some theory, affixed with a name, and linked with other conceptions by an abstract system of verbal rules called logic. This mode of thought is associated with the left hemisphere of the human brain and generally takes the form of a subvocal monologue or dialogue. It is only this sort of thinking that mysticism rejects. At the same time as stopping verbal thinking during mystical lovemaking, try to remain completely aware of what is going on. Mysticism fully recommends to experience directly and creatively while participating actively during lovemaking. To be completely awake, aware, involved, and absorbed, but without describing every part of the experience to oneself in words as it's going on. In mystical intercourse, lovers are more mentally aware, able to concentrate and be involved by virtue of the fact that they are not thinking, because the direct perception of whatever is happening is no longer filtered by what we usually call the rational mind. Mystical intercourse favors the creative, perceptive, intuitive feelings of direct experience. Without describing every sensation to oneself, without thinking, oh, that is good, or oh, that is not good, one just feels the physical sensations that occur. In conclusion, during mystical lovemaking, men and women are open to sensations, perceiving them without evaluating them. Can you do this as well? You can, if you follow our example. An attempt to classify the various branches of the tantric system. Tantra yoga starts from the idea that our sexuality and amorous impulses actually represent a debased metaphysical urge. In other words, our highest spiritual aspirations are imprisoned in the matter and shape of sexuality. The only problem could arise from the misuse of this fundamental force of sex, which could prove harmful for a person's spiritual evolution. Otherwise, sexuality represents a fundamental tendency to join together the plus and the minus, the solar and the lunar, the yang and the yin, the male and the female, the ha and the tha. In order to attain the final condition of union, the neutrality of the absolute zero, the peace of the spiritual energon who has accumulated all the potentialities of manifestation. This goal, which is actually common within all spiritual paths of our planet, is achieved within Tantra in various ways, which gives rise to several branches within the tantric system. Generally, experts divide Tantra into two main categories: Tantra of the right-hand path and Tantra of the left-hand path. The first division comes from the nature of practical methods that are used for reaching the state of unity. If the actual physical methods of sexual union are used, then we are dealing with the left-hand tantra. If only symbolical or meditative techniques are used, and the physical sex is excluded, then we are dealing with right-hand tantra. It is often very difficult to draw a sharp borderline between these two divisions, since there are schools which use methods belonging to both paths. Tantra of the right hand often corresponds to some great ascetic spiritual paths of our planet, in which union is searched for with a divine entity, personification, incarnation, and so on, or sometimes merely with supernatural beings of various degrees. Though we are dealing here with a kind of sexual relationship, it is not an actual sexual manifestation that we encounter, but rather a sublime, spiritual, and sometimes symbolical way of interacting, closer to what we call love. One of the most accessible examples for the common Western understanding is that of astral sex, or otherwise said, the erotic experiences that occur whilst in the dream state. Other historical examples could be the mystic erotic relationship between the Christian nuns and Jesus, the erotic devotion of the Indian gopis for Krishna, mystic lovers, troubadours and knights, worshippers of the 10 great cosmic powers in certain tantric schools, etc. Although tradition categorically states that Tantra of the right hand is the highest of the two branches, masters also state that the present-day men of Kali Yuga, especially in the West, because of the grossness or materiality of their spirit, are practically incapable, with very rare exceptions, to follow this path, which starts from a point that is too high or too abstract for them to understand and practice. Therefore, we are advised to start with the Tantra of the left-hand path, which starts from a more down-to-earth or concrete situation and is better suited for our level. As it has been said, Tantra of the left hand actually involves practicing sexual activities. For this reason, some scholars speculate, for example, that the right-hand path is right and therefore the other one must be wrong. A whole host of moralists and amateur outsiders have cast the left-hand tantra as being a horrifying heresy and a spiritual deviation connected with fornication and black magic, which could not lead to any spiritual accomplishments. Even today,
when morals have become so loose. Vama Marga, the path of the left hand, is still looked upon with skepticism by narrow-minded and sexually frustrated people, and by people who never tried it practically because of these methods. However, it must be clearly stated that in the left-hand tantra, sex is not practiced for the sake of sex itself, but as an instrument for going somehow beyond sex, for reaching health, balance, improved couple relationships, self-control, supernatural abilities, and eventually the superior states of consciousness, culminating with the state of cosmic consciousness, or samadhi, as it is called in yoga. Here, it would also be useful to mention that there are paths which are somehow placed on the borderline between the left-hand and right-hand paths, or that join and use harmoniously methods belonging to both these ways. One such surprising example can be found in certain schools of Hatha Yoga. Few know that the word Hatha comes from the two Sanskrit roots of Ha, sun, and Tha, moon, which makes Hatha Yoga the discipline of the union of the sun and moon, or otherwise of plus and minus, of the masculine and feminine. Therefore, genuine Hatha Yoga is a kind of tantra in which the union of male and female aspects occurs within the being of the practitioner through specific methods, and thus he attains a final condition of inner balance, harmony, and power. It is a well-known fact that Hatha Yoga is a typical tantric instrument for training. Therefore, in most tantric schools and ashrams of the left hand, it is deemed to be an indispensable practice. That is why, in our course, there will be frequent references and exercises belonging to the Hatha Yoga system. However, returning to the initial topic of this discussion, it can be noted that scholars still have difficulties in deciding if Hatha Yoga belongs to the right-hand path, since physical sex is not necessarily involved, or to the left-hand path, being physical and bringing about a kind of physical inner sex. But for real practitioners, all these distinctions have little importance, since they are mainly concerned with practical, effective results of their spiritual discipline and not with theoretical speculations. From this last standpoint, it is possible to distinguish two main directions for the use of sexual energy, the evolutionary one and the magical one. The first teaches that tantric techniques and their resulting energy should be used for attaining self-knowledge, for spiritual evolution, and for self-realization, or divine consciousness. This may be done either by an individual practitioner who searches for the truth, or by a couple who seek transcendence. In their case, accomplishment takes on the further dimension of making their love-based relationship tangent to eternity. This latter one, though very cherished and tantalizing for the human soul, involves a great deal of spiritual commitment and abnegation from both partners, and is a rare and exceptional accomplishment. The second direction allows using controlled energy for attaining all kinds of mundane goals, such as health, success, wealth, power, seduction, influence, supernatural abilities, and so forth, in an almost magical manner. The word magical is probably not the most suited, because it often evokes an occult, sinister, and choking environment, but it has been used in an absence of a better one. Here, it is often difficult to find a clear limit between the two directions, since there are schools and practitioners who follow them both at the same time. However, from the standpoint of using energy in a magical way, three main possible ways have been agreed upon. They are conventionally called white tantra, in which energy is used exclusively for beneficial, superior spiritual purposes such as healing, psychic support, and advancing one's spiritual evolution, etc. Red tantra, which is dedicated entirely to obtaining as much pleasure and personal satisfaction as possible, in a somehow selfish manner and without any spiritual horizon. However, it does not involve any specific evil, demonic, or satanic actions, or harming any sentient being. This direction or deviation is quite typical for Western practitioners. Black Tantra is directed towards obscure accomplishments that relate with dark worlds of demonic and even satanic natures, and whose results are harmful for sentient beings, for their spiritual evolution, and generally for the entire universal balance. It should be made clear that on our site there will be only those elements from Tantra that concern spiritual evolution, personal or couple development, and obtaining and beneficially using paranormal capacities. Because for the yogis, it is a well-known fact that egoism and evil create an endless chain of human suffering, and that the law of karma, of cause and effect, action and its consequences, pays back, sooner or later, all the misdeeds of a person. Therefore, if we want to preserve ourselves in the spirit of the aforementioned beneficial path, we might say that we will study elements of Tantra from the left-hand path, connected where necessary with elements of Hatha Yoga and Tantra from the right-hand path, directed towards spiritual evolution of the individual or of the couple, and, when possible, towards the white use of energy. Whenever it will be deemed necessary, elements from the other parallel spiritual paths will also be added, such as sexual Tao, Imsak, other branches of the yoga system, and so on. Also, elements from modern sexology and the latest research in medicine, physiology, physics, and chemistry will be used for improving the understanding of these topics.
Resonance, a fundamental tantric principle. One of the most important universal principles, which is clear and manifest in all spiritual traditions, under different forms, is resonance, an actual ideological and practical extension of a well-known phenomenon in physics. It is a fact of common knowledge that the term resonance comes from the Latin resonare, which means to resound or to vibrate. Consequently, resonance is a process of initiation or an increase of vibratory phenomena, produced under the action of energies or vibrations coming from certain specific levels of manifestation in the universe. The process of resonance actually takes place only when the frequency of vibrations is close or coincides with one of the frequencies present inside the inner universe of a human being. The relationships that unite and determine all the constitutive elements of the universe, things, beings, processes, and phenomena, are based on this universal law of resonance. Because of the similarity of phenomena, objects or energies vibrate on the same level, from a distance, which means they interact selectively, just like in the case of two posts of emission and reception, which are on the same frequency. A profound, intimate understanding of any object or process may also be described as a phenomenon of resonance. In other words, if a man is thinking constantly about the object he or she intends to know, the object is practically traversed by the thoughts of that person. Finally, these mental energies return to their center, charged with the energies and information about that particular object. It has also been observed that the thoughts emitted by a person towards a phenomenon or object are able to transform it. Also, that a thing or phenomenon is subject to change owing to the influence exercised by human thoughts. Thus, the development of a process or the nature of an object may be changed one way or another according to the nature or character of the thoughts emitted upon it by a person. This happens because we all have the possibility to actively change or rearrange, through our thoughts, any being, thing, or energy within the universe. If this process of resonance is manifested for a sufficient length of time, then a state of fusion appears between the two, the knower and the object to be known. This will lead to an almost perfect subtle identification between them. Through the use of resonance alone, in the process of knowing an object or a person, it results that by exploring and mastering all frequencies of vibration, that is, all frames or states of mind, it is possible for a man to get to know the whole universe this way, through the process of resonance. From this perspective, the ancient tantric and yogic aphorism, that which is here, in the microcosmos of one's being, is everywhere, in the macrocosmos or universe. That which is not here is nowhere, may be understood in a different light, more appropriate to the level of understanding and thinking of contemporary man. By knowing, as profoundly as possible, the active, actual aspects of one's being, as well as his latent potential, the human being may get to know, through resonance, the universe around him. This knowledge will allow the human being to understand and interact with the universe itself in the microcosmos of one's own being. Resonance, a fundamental tantric principle, part 2. In the following article, we will briefly present some characteristics of the process of resonance. Resonance is a complex phenomenon based on the similarity between two elements that resonate, on selection and or through a harmonized movement, same vibration. Resonance knows different degrees. It may be strong, even to the point where the two elements identify with each other, or on the contrary, weak, in a simple analogy. The spatial perception of a phenomenon of resonance is usually symmetry and the temporal perception, simultaneity and synchronicity. The process of resonance may be homogeneous, such as resonating elements that belong to the same category, sounds, images, etc., or heterogeneous, like a complex interaction of the senses, for instance, the perception of sounds as colors. Colorful audition, or the perception of images as music. Sound visualization. The process of resonance may occur naturally, spontaneously, unconsciously, or, on the contrary, it can be provoked, searched for, and maintained through conscious attention. Tantrism says that because all beings and all things originate from the same source, the Absolute God, they all have an essential common trait. That is the individual self, known as Atman, which is identical with the source of all existence, or Paramatman. It is obvious that, as all things and beings are part of creation, nothing can exist and not have this spark of divine consciousness. In the case of the human being, the main channels of resonance are the chakras, the seven centers of force. These centers of force allow the human being to experience different kinds of energies, as well as various levels of vibration and consciousness. A resonating system or element, in the case of a human being, the seven chakras, resembles an oscillatory circuit. Such an oscillatory circuit is made to vibrate if we act upon it with another oscillatory circuit, whose energy may be either equal to the previous, in this case its vibrations will reach the highest intensity, or smaller, its vibrations will not be so strong. Various yogic techniques represent precise ways of establishing a process of resonance with different types of universal energies. The process of resonance eases the way into understanding the reasons why some people always succeed at what they have to do, while others just obtain insignificant results.
General rules concerning Tantra Yoga. First rule. It is known in Tantra that pleasure, however intense, must be fully controlled, and therefore ejaculation or explosive orgasms must be avoided. Unfortunately, mostly in the West, there are beginners who still have a lot of trouble comprehending and controlling these new ways of experiencing sexuality, and thus involuntary ejaculations still occur. For all these reasons, it is said that at least 1 hour after every tantric technique, all sexual manifestations, masturbation included, are prohibited. The aim of this rule is to avoid the risk of losing the energy and instead allow it to be used integrally for much higher purposes. The hands. The tantrikas, or tantric adepts, are especially careful when it comes to taking care of their hands, because they are the main instruments for touching and caressing. Many tantric techniques involve specific use of the hands, fingers, or nails. Some texts advise cutting the nails of the thumb and index finger, especially of the right hand, so that they are short and have a round tip, for avoiding any scratching or accidental wounding, while the other finger should have rather long nails, but very clean and manicured. It is said that long nails conduct the ethereal energy of the hands better, thus enhancing the intensity of the touch, stroke, and massage. Many tantrikas can be recognized from the special way in which their nails are manicured. The sexual organs. All tantric texts mention that Care and cleanliness of the genital organs and surrounding area is very important for both hygienic and aesthetic reasons. Furthermore, the cleanliness of the sexual organs is said to enhance their sensitivity, a thing that will be noted with the practice and perception of these techniques. For women, it is often recommended that their pubic hair be periodically shaved. Food. Tantra emphasizes the importance of a natural diet, without toxic products, without foods that are usually forbidden to the high classes of Indian society or to spiritual practitioners, such as meat, alcohol, fish, tobacco, coffee, drugs, etc. Tantra states that all the senses must be stimulated to the highest extent possible while maintaining a perfect mastery over them. Understanding and abnegation. Tantra forbids those deeds in which the elementary rights of another human being are denied. Tantric masters will never try to persistently persuade outsiders to perform special tantric techniques, because true understanding must come from within. Embarking on the tantric path must be done with full participation of your entire being, and with a total offering of the self. The meaning of love. In most languages, and especially in the Germanic ones, the word amour, or love, is very hard to define. Tantra deems love as a gradual expansion, starting from the finite, through which the individual reaches the infinite. This definition should be meditated upon if you wish to clarify its meaning. Love also means the total empathic identification with the innermost being of the other, as it is integrated in the harmony of the macrocosmic infinite. The polarity of the energy. Tantra is preeminently the science of polarity. Man and woman are the personification of two fundamental cosmic poles, Shiva, known as the male consciousness, and Shakti, known as the female manifestation. Therefore, it is particularly important to discuss a few elements concerning the polarity of energy. Any energy found in manifestation, and therefore any thing, being, phenomenon, state, etc., is composed of two distinct poles. The solar one, male, active, emissive, plus, yang, and the lunar one, female, passive, receptive, minus, yin. The state of harmony, which is the aim of any method of spiritual development, Tantra yoga included, is to reach a perfect balance between these two poles. The traditional teachings state that an imbalance of these two energies, solar and lunar, in any sense, creates disharmony that entails disturbances, diseases, pain, limitation, and unhappiness. Their balance, on the other hand, creates a condition of perfect harmony, which is a springboard for higher spiritual accomplishments. Here are some practical examples concerning the predominance of the two polarities in the manifested world. The left side of the body, generally, is of lunar or yin polarity, while the right side of the body is generally of solar or yang polarity. Women are generally predominantly charged with lunar or yin energy, while men are, or should be, prevalently charged with solar or yang energy. Some foods are charged predominantly with yin or lunar energy, while the others are charged with yang or solar energy. This shows one of several ways in which the yin-yang energies of the being can be balanced, a way which is particularly accessible for Westerners, for example. Therefore, a complete table listing these foods will be given in oncoming articles. Various other conditions of the environment, such as cold or warmth, light or darkness, colors, etc., as well as the ones relating to personal behavior, may involve a yin or yang predominance. The most important of these will be mentioned, or you can find a detailed list in the complete yin and yang tables. The problem of polarizing energy is complicated by the fact that there is a kind of related polarity between telluric or earth energy and cosmic energy, and this polarity is somehow different from the left-right plus-minus polarity mentioned above. However, it is symbolically stated that telluric energy is also predominantly feminine, or minus, while the cosmic energy is predominantly male, or plus. Even though these two forms of energy may each have a bit of a charge in their opposite polarity as well. In Tantra, there is a lot of data concerning the polarity of the energy between a man and a woman during sexual union, in relation to various bodies or ranges of frequency found inside one's being. Because we have not yet undertaken a methodical study of this topic, of the various bodies to be exact, this information will only be mentioned briefly. Thus, at the level of the physical body, called in yoga Anamaya Kosha, the man is predominantly plus and the woman is predominantly minus. At the level of the ethereal body, also known as Pranamaya Kosha, the woman is predominantly plus and the man is predominantly minus. On the astral plane, or Manomaya Kosha, the man is again plus and the woman is minus. While at the level of the mental body, also known as Vijnanamaya Kosha, the woman is solar and the man is lunar. To gain a better understanding of these statements relating to the various meanings of solar and lunar energy, you should probably meditate upon them.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, your guide to sacred love. I'm your host, Amaris. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme, the state of enthusiasm. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect. The state of enthusiasm. Let us begin.
Thank you. Thank you.
concludes our broadcast. Have a nice day, everyone.